day the Lord's given us. Well, we're not worthy of what He's done for us. That's why we just all the more praise Him for it and thank Him for it. And we're going to start tonight the first chapter of the book of Jonah. Going to share a few thoughts with you. The Lord's laid upon our hearts. And if you're saved, somebody say amen tonight.
Amen.
I'm glad we can go to church where we can enjoy the goodness of the Lord. Enjoy the fellowship with the saints of the Lord. And get around the Word of the Lord. And this book's going to stand when the world's burning. And I hope that you're getting familiar with this book. The Bible said, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Rise, and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." That's not changed tonight. God's still writing wickedness down. "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa." And the devil had him something chartered. He found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But that's what keeps me on track. But the Lord sent. And honey, when He sends it, it's a coming your way. These charismatics can raise their little hands up all they want to, so I rebuke you when it don't work. He said He has His way in the whirlwind. He said God is jealous. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God, cast forth the wires that were in the ship and the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down the sides of the ship. He lay and was fast asleep. Shipmaster came to him and said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Rise, call upon thy God. If so be, that God will think upon us that we perish not." They said, "Everyone to his fellow, come. Let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him, "Tell us, we pray you, for whose cause is this evil upon us?" Verse 10, the men exceedingly afraid said to him, "Why hast thou done this?" You ever wondered in your life, why did I do that? Three of you do. What about the other bunch? Then said they unto him, "What shall we do to you, that the sea may be come to us?" For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. He said to them, "Take me up, cast me forth in the sea. So shall the sea be come unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Thank you for standing tonight. I'd like to preach on this topic on But Jonah. But Jonah. Jonah is a character that we all are familiar with. We've heard about him in the Bible. I still believe that God created a great fish to swallow Jonah. And I don't believe it's a fable, Brother Ricky. I believe it's the real deal of what the Holy Ghost put down. That He had a fish come by and get a hold to a backslidden child of God. And we find out Jonah's a lot like ourselves. We find out, first of all, there is duty in the verse. He said, verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And he said, arise and go. Now here we find in Jonah's life there was duty. Can I tell you that every child of God here tonight, we have a duty. We have many duties and responsibilities that God requires out of us. Can I tell you tonight that blessings require responsibility? And so here, Jonah heard the word of the Lord. Isn't it good that we can get around a church that has the word of the Lord? And there's a lot of boys trying to change their book. But honey, this is still the word of the Lord. You say, well, I'm going to get me a new Bible. I can't understand the King's yet. Oh, you ain't got no problem understanding these and thous and don'ts. Your problem is you just don't want to line up with this King James Bible. It's a big difference than a little woman, young woman, and a virgin woman. A lot of difference in that. And so it's a big difference in just being baptized and believing before you baptize. Some versions even leave out if thou believest. And so I'm glad tonight that we have a word from the Lord. Now, isn't it amazing He thought enough of us to send us a word? Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. A lot of people say, well, you know, the Word just comes to a crowd. Well, the Word comes to individuals. And I'm glad the Word of God has nailed my hide from time to time and has encouraged my heart and showed me where I was wrong. And I know a lot of times a lot of you say, boy, Brother Ken told them off and they needed to hear that. Honey, you ought to pick a phone up. It's a ringing down your house tonight. It's not so much your neighbor and it ain't so much the other feller. It's the one that's in your clothes tonight. The Word, people tickle me, you know. Sometimes I try to point the shotgun where I think we need a little preaching, and it tickles me. They always come around and say, you told them tonight, preacher. I say, you dummy, I was preaching to you the whole time. It just poof. And so there is duty. The duty came unto Jonah by the Word of the Lord. Can I tell you that man has responsibility to God? If you die and go to hell tonight in your sin, you'll die as a responsible sinner to Christ that died and shed His blood for you. And you'll go to hell as an intruder. God never intended you to die and go to hell. God sent His Son and the Word that you may believe on His Son and be saved for life everlasting. We see the duty came unto Jonah. The Bible speaks. And the old preacher of Ecclesiastes, he said in Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, he said, I done wrote the whole chapter now. And he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So tonight we realize that the Word came to Jonah and there is duty. Can I tell you we're all going to stand and give an account to God about what we've done with this book. Now hear me and hear me well. I love singing good as anybody. I thank God for singing. I'm glad we got some talent in our church that knows a little bit about Holy Ghost singing. Amen. I've never enjoyed seeing nobody when they get up and sing that looked like it hurt them so bad to get a word out. You know, I mean, it just, but I love people that just get up and be their self and let God use them and have singing. But listen to me, Liberty Baptist Church. There's nothing ever going to take place of the Word of God.
God. We must build this ministry on preaching and making much of the Son of God. This book is inspired and it's infallible, honey. And it's ordained of God to preach discipline and doctrine and duty and responsibility. And we need the Word of God in our church tonight. The Word came to Joshua. How many times have we needed a Word and a preacher got up and God sent us a Word from His book? Bless His name that He can send us a Word. And so, Jonah, we find here duty. But then secondly, we find direction. He said, now I want you to rise and go to Nineveh, that great city. And I want you to cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, I don't want to be an old mean-spirited preacher, but you hear me, folks, and you hear me well. God is tired of sin. And we're not going to have any revival in our lives until we take care of this matter of sin. God said that this wickedness has come up before Him. God is holy, friend, and He has a line drawn in the sand of just so much He's going to take. Can I tell you, America is in the highest of immorality. 4,000 babies being slaughtered in our country every day. God is against abortion. God is against adultery. Somebody say amen. God is against homosexuality. Homosexuality is an abomination before God. Hey, girls, lesbianism is wrong tonight. It's an abomination in the eyes of the Lord. And wickedness, and let me tell you, wickedness engulf our churches. Wickedness come in our churches, and we must cry against it. We're not here to lose people. We're not here to help people. Honey, you're not going to get help till your life gets right with God. We got to line up with this book tonight. Somebody said, well, you can't build a church preaching like that. Well, honey, let me tell you something. Most other places has got some gimmicky and gamey. People's looking for some place to preach and people would love one another. And we'll just keep preaching. We're offering something the average Baptist church ain't offering tonight. Would somebody help the preacher preach a while? Lord, everybody's hunting another pony ride or hot dog to get another family in here. Can I tell you, we'll just exalt Christ and make much of His Son. He said, if He be lifted up, He'll draw all men unto Him. I want to see our ministry grow, but I want to see it grow right. We're not going to fill it up with wickedness in the world. Friend, listen, if we don't have purity and the right kind of heart and the right kind of spirit, then we grieve the Holy Ghost and we'll not have services like we had this morning. But thank God, when sin is dealt with and your heart is cleansed and the Holy Ghost goes to moving, hey, friend, business of go to picking up down at the Baptist church. Whoop, whoop. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm saved tonight. He said, go and cry against it. Lord, most boys are preaching. You don't know if they're riding ponies or switching poodles, Brother Gerald. Cry. We're preachers. We're to love people, Brother Rand. Hear me. I love people, but I don't love wickedness tonight. And whether it's at my house or your house, wrong is still wrong tonight. And I ain't going to quit preaching. I ain't going to quit preaching. He said, cry against that. Cry aloud. Spare not. Hallelujah. If I didn't have me a dog and bark, I'd get rid of him. Somebody said, preacher, if you'll get you a drove of guineas, they'll do better than a guard dog. Not them German shepherds I've had, friend. You better blow your horn or you get out of the car down in my house. I ain't never seen a guinea do nothing but squawk. I had me a German Shepherd was the real deal, friend. But one of them bumps come down the road and got him. I wish my dog would eat his tires off before they run over and killed him. Now I'm going to preach a while. I seen his ears perk up. Heard that ba-boom, 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 ba-boom coming down the road. No, that's bad when a German Shepherd dogged on him like a ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Boy, he run out to tear that car out. You know what happened? It went ba-boom, ba-boom. They run over him, amen. But I'm going to tell you what, honey. Oh, we need to spare not our cry. Lift up our voice and cry against it that Jesus saves. And when you get saved, He said, come out from the world and be ye separate and love one another. Glory to God. I was preaching revival the other week. Little woman looked at me sort of funny. I said, we got no smoking signs up on the property. I said, I believe we'll pull them up to start putting things around. No adultery. No fornication. No backbiting. No stealing. No animosity. Amen. Boy, it wouldn't be many of us to get out of the car that Sunday, would it? Y'all do pretty good with them cigarettes, but you can't handle that backbiting, can you? Some of y'all just think because you got Marlboro killed, you've arisen. Hey, what about that smart mouth you got, friend? What about that sorry attitude you carrying around? God owes you something, honey. We all ought to be in hell there back. Hey, hey, hey. We ought to be the happiest people in America. Thank God we're saved. We're free. Hey, hey. We're blessed tonight, friend. If I get the glory and found out that God wasn't against my Copenhagen as much as you are, I'm going to chew you out in glory. Amen. Brother, every time I go in the grocery store, the devil says, hey, there's that fresh can of Copenhagen over yonder. Oh, I know you spiritual elites don't have no flesh left, but I got a bunch in this coat. Matter of fact, I got so much in, I got to get a drink of water. Somebody say amen. And cry against it. I want you to arise. I want you to go. I want you to cry against it because their wickedness has come up. I wonder if America thinks God has changed. Boy, we live in a society that's so sin sick. This society's gone sex crazy. God intended sex to be between a man and a woman in their marriage. Something that's holy and pure and right. He never intended to sell cars or to sell equipment or hamburgers. There's such a wickedness going on in this country. And young people, let me tell you something. You don't have to do what the rest of them's are doing. You listen, young people. You just keep your purity. You walk with Christ. And you'll stand out in a way. And you'll offer people something that nobody else has got. A purity about you and a standard and a holiness and an influence and a witness walking through these schools in our country. When these little girls need a friend, they need somebody different than them. Little girl, you can get in trouble in one night more than your life can ever fix. Little boy, you listen to this preacher tonight. You better watch your rotten flesh. Wicked, don't get quiet on me now. They ain't getting this down at the Bowden Primary. They saying safe sex down there. God says abstain. Abstain. Keep yourself for your husband and your wife. Quit looking down. We ain't praying. We're preaching. Y'all all right? Y'all all right? Direction.
I want you to rise and go to Nineveh. Now we see decay. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. That didn't happen overnight, Brother Joe. This thing of decay, I want to say we set our flesh up for a fall. There's decay. You see, he just didn't make this decision all of a sudden. He'd been leaning that way. You remember when David looked and saw Bathsheba? The Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter number 11, 2 Samuel chapter number 11, came to pass after the years expired at the time when kings go forth to battle. David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David, there's one of them inserts. But David, y'all help me tonight, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Why wasn't he in the battle? You get in trouble when you park. Came to pass an even time, David rose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And you know what? The woman was very beautiful to look upon. David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, here's his way out. Watch, the Bible said, with every temptation he'll give you a way to escape. Here's his way to escape, and he didn't take it. David sent and inquired, one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eli? The wife. Soon as he said, the wife of Uriah, his heart ought to smote him, the Hittite. You know why David fell? Because he was set up for a fall. You know who set David up for a fall? David set his own self up for a fall. He tarried behind in Jerusalem when other kings was out fighting the battle, doing what God called them to do. Let me tell you something, friend. A drunkard don't become a drunk overnight. It takes one drink to lead to a drunkard. There was a boy left here the other day. He said, I ain't sitting in that church. Hey, that preacher don't believe in social drinking. I sure don't. You know why I don't? Because one beer leads to a 12-pack, and a 12-pack leads to a funeral home. One joint a pot leads to an ounce a week. I know, I've been there, wore that t-shirt. Amen. And you say, well, preacher, that's none of your business. Well, it is when it comes in this church. Amen. You've made it my business. Amen. Run around that bottle sipping crowd, get half lit on Saturday night, then you go to taking your clothes off. Ain't scared. And preachers, let me tell you, this ain't your responsibility. I'm the pastor here. You don't get to preach like this. I do. I'll skin the sheep. And I'll pour oil on them when they need it. You just pour grain in the trough. I'm not throwing rocks at nobody, but let me tell you this. You may be slipping around drinking a little bit. Before long, that thing goes to lean, it's going to fall. Brother Jason Cantrell told me today, he said, preacher, you seen that old barn leaning up yonder in the mountains of Tennessee when we go to Gatlinburg? He said, that thing's doing this. You know what? Before long, when he goes, it'll be on the ground. We set our own self up for a fall. But Jonah rose to flee from the presence of the Lord. I wonder if Jonah would have fled if he'd been reading his Bible.
Wonder would he have fled, Brother Lee, if he had been in his altar praying every morning.
God help me. I'm not throwing rocks. I'm just telling you where I live.
David set himself up for a fall. Son, you better be careful. You're setting yourself up for a fall. Stay close to the Lord. Stay dead. We can't trust this flesh. Some of the best men in this town sitting here. But let me tell you, I don't trust your flesh far as I can throw you.
These little sweet women, drivers, they remind me of my flesh all the time. They drive and they act like they turn in a tractor trailer in their driveway. I don't know how many bumpers I've done nearly took off, miss them this much, and boom! Would y'all get out of the road? Couldn't you have saddled you a little donkey and went to town on it? Rode over there in the ditch bank. Get out of the road. Y'all quit looking so spiritual. Most of y'all blowing a horn, rolling the window down, doing gestures. And you got bumper sticker on the back, a 10 Liberty Baptist Church. You redneck. We attend Liberty Baptist Church van. You ladies wasn't smoking in our church van this week, was you? Windows rolled down, looks like it's a fire. Miss Flo, was you with them? I know Miss Flo kept you straight, amen. I bet y'all didn't have much air blowing, though, I can tell you that. Well, Miss Cormay in there, did you? Might have had the air conditioner. Wish y'all, it's cold, and praise God, Miss Cormay. Boy, that'd be a challenge ride with Miss Flo on one side, Miss Cormay the other way, all the way to the mountains. It's too cold, preacher. Too hot, preacher. Oh, I'm ready for rehab. I love y'all. God bless you. I love you. I love you. I'm glad you're in our church tonight. You'd have me confused as a termite and a yo-yo. Decay. You know something? He just didn't make that decision. Something led to that decision. We got to realize tonight we better watch decay. Yep. Psalms 119, verse number 67. Psalms 119 and verse number 67. Psalmist David said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept your word, Lord." Can I tell you, me and you would save a lot of afflictions if we'd stay in this book. And then not only decay, but in verse 3 we see disobedience. The Bible said he rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Disobedience. Notice if you would, disobedience would always do this. It took him from the presence of the Lord. And I want to say this. It also took him out of the place of where he was hearing the word of the Lord. So many times disobedience not only takes us from His presence, but it takes us from where we've been hearing the word. Can you imagine tonight, Brother Jerry, the families that we've seen in this ministry, they begin to lean. And disobedience has took them out of the place where they can hear the Word. You know, it wouldn't bother me so much. People would leave the church, they'd go get under a man preaching out of a King James Bible, trying to love them and people love. But most of the time when people leave your church, you know where they go? Home. And you know who they take with them? Them little children been putting money in that bucket on Sunday. And them little children ain't got an option to say so about it. And disobedience will always take you from the place of hearing the Word of God. Begin to lean. How many times in my life been leaning and somebody had the guts enough to walk up to me in love and say, "Preacher, you need to take care of that. You ought to thank somebody that loves you." And I tell you, a true friend, listen to me, some of you are not going to like this, but a true friend will tell you what you need to hear instead of what you want to hear. Disobedience. Then verse 3, look at deception. A lot of times we think, boy, you know, this thing is ordained. He found a ship going to Tarsus. Deception. How many times have we been deceived? There are plenty of ships that are chartered that's just waiting in the harbor saying, "Jump on, I'll take you from God." He said he went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarsus. "Well, this has got to be providence. Everything's lining up. I'm getting a promotion, preacher. It's got to be God." Well, let me ask you this. Is it taking you closer to God or further from God? I remember one time I had an opportunity in corporate. I could go, have to leave here. And it was a nice increase. A lot of prestige and perks. But you know, Brother Troy, I know there's no use in putting my name in the hat. I ain't leaving here. Amen. This is where my blessings come from. This is where my benefits are. A lot of times we get so blessed and we think we're so bulletproof, but before long we find ourselves just like Jonah. We get way out yonder and we get thrown overboard before we know it. You see, there's no doubt there's deception. If you'll name your price, the devil will be sure to give it to you. I heard this week, it was a family. They got their feelings hurt at another family in our church. Just a little simple something, and they left. Well, you know what they done, Brother Dennis? They named a price and said, "If somebody hurts my feeling at Liberty Baptist Church, I'm going to leave." You know what the devil done? He signed the check. Name your price. Is it a promotion? If my husband leaves me, I won't serve God. I'll be careful not to name your price. Amen. I'll be careful. Wouldn't name my price. Because boy, I'm going to tell you what, the devil's got a lot of ships. A lot of courtships. A lot of partnerships. And so we see that he started slipping. And now the Bible says something. And we fix to go home in a minute. He paid the fare thereof. I'm going to say this tonight. Sin will cost you more than you really want to pay. You know, when Judas, he covenanted with them. I read this scene for 30 pieces. I love preaching. Can I just stop right there and just tell you, I love preaching. I love the Bible. He covenanted with them. He made a bargain. 30 pieces. He said, "This is my price. 30 pieces of silver." And they brought it to him. You know what? It wasn't near what he thought it was. Because he come back and he throwed it at their feet and he went out and hung himself. I don't guess it was near what he thought. Has anybody ever thought, boy, if you could just ever get that, man, I'll have it? I remember me and Brother Mike, Brother Jackson, we got the old car fever one time. I wished I'd took me a bottle of Tylenol. I said, I'm going to build me a street rod, 330 horse with a cam, chromed out, bling, bling everywhere. And I built it. And about three-quarters of the way in, Brother David, if Brother David Robson was here, I'd have blamed it on him then. About three-quarter ways through the project, I got to go to getting billy goat sick. Anybody ever felt like you swallowed a billy goat or a polecat? I'd go to that mailbox on Friday, Dixie Dream Rods, you owe $3,600. I thought I owed them $600. And I mean, this thing was a broke record. It just played rewind, 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 rewind. Boy, you know one of the biggest blessings in this preacher's life today, if somebody would walk in my yard and say, "Preacher, we come to buy that car." Boy, aren't we something? We just think, man, if we can just get that, you know. It's just going to make me so happy. It's going to make me so happy. I had to have a bass boat would run 70. How many fish can you catch running 70? But that's going to make me so happy. And you know, I can take you right down there today. There's cobwebs all over that thing. I'm trying to help you. I can tell you just what the old preacher said. I can tell you the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. Love Him. Deception. And then I heardly decline. He went down and down and down. You better watch yourself, or you'll find yourself down, down, down. It bothers me to see you miss Wednesday night. I know you don't like it. I know you want to spit on the floor when I say something about it. But you better be careful. We've got to have that discipline. We've got to have it. That's why I want to continue our church services Sunday night. We need discipline. This preaching the Word of God. Fellowship. Praising Him. Coming to an old-fashioned altar praying. We need, Brother Lee, these kind of disciplines in our lives. There was a decline. He went down. And then the debt. He paid the fare thereof. I wrote this down. I thought it was so good. I want to share it with you. And then the debt. Said He paid the fare thereof. Now, men are reluctant to spend to do God's will. But when it comes to our own will, we become very liberal. All of Jonah's will gladly pay the fare to Tarshish. The cost of going to Nineveh will be too much to consider. Disobedience becomes quite liberal in spending to help its pursuit. The prodigal spent it all. Obedience is the best economic policy known to man. Could you imagine the money we could have saved if we hadn't been crazy? Why couldn't we start out living with the mentality of a 50-year-old? Why couldn't we started raising babies at 50? I didn't get that. Y'all got that. It went over my head. You know, my little grandyounguns, they can spill something on the floor or break a bowl. You know what Mimi said? That's okay. Here, you want nothing? Break it? If I could tell these young men anything about their children tonight, I'd say this. Let your wife and them young uns be a priority. You can fish and hunt later. Keep them in church. Love them. And the old cliche, don't do as I say, do as I say, that don't work. Because they watching you what you do. Debt, he paid the fare. And then disturbance. That's what gets me. I wanted to preach this morning so bad. But in verse 4, the sea got up. And I've got people here tonight will tell me this morning, preacher, pray for me. Our home is a wreck. It's a havoc. Where are they tonight? What's God trying to say? Things ain't going to get no better running from Him. I wish people would take this right when they'd say, preacher, pray for me. And I'd say, have you been to church 3 times this week? It goes like this. Some of y'all look at me like, I mean, the whole time, I know I live this. I know this is my life. And I'm just sitting there thinking, don't you hear nothing I say? Miss Amanda preached the best sermon this morning. It's been preached in this place in a long time. You know what she said? You can take all the preaching you want, but you got to apply it. A family right tonight, struggling, so the wind's about to blow the house down. And they just hit or miss. Preacher, pray for me, pray for me, pray. Well, I love you, I want to pray for you, but you got to help yourself. I know y'all don't like that, but I'm just an old country boy, as human as you are. You know, some, if I had some of these men building a house, and I know nothing about it except they're late. That's all I know, they're late. And I started doing it wrong, and these men come up and said, preacher, that ain't going to work, buddy. That ain't the way you do. I've been doing this 30 years. Well, okay, show me how to fix. Well, if you do this, it'll stand up. Well, now, am I going to have so much ego about me to build something that ain't going to work? Or am I going to get instruction? There's people all across this country in an old liberal church. They want to be here. They want to be someplace where they can get help for their family. But they're running from Him. They're too radical. Man, this is 2011. What is wrong with that preacher? Nothing wrong with the preacher. It's what that book says. Amen. Disturbance. Boy, wouldn't the wind settle down a lot more if we'd just mind Him? You know, Brother Vince, I'm fit to say a mouthful what I'm fit to say, right? I'm fit to load this coat up what I'm fit to say. You'll notice disturbance. It was but Jonah, but now but the Lord. Brother Lee, he got in a button contest with God, and you know who won? Always God. Always God. Tonight, I feel as close as if I've ever been in my Christian walk, Brother Joe. I don't like Joppa. Now, Sheriff, you come. Brother Tim, you get us something. You know what? Some of y'all would go a lot better for you where you live if you'd just obey Him. What's He going to have to do to get your attention? I'm going to tell you, I don't need to go hunt trouble. It finds me. Who am I to try to deal and meddle with my neighbor's business? I got enough over yonder on that acres that I live on. Who am I to point a finger? Where's your Nineveh? God's got you in a Nineveh. He's wanting you to win people to the Lord. We've got couples all over this church, and I thank God for what you're doing. You have young couple contacts. You ought to be reaching them in your Nineveh. In your workplace, God saved you. He put the light on you. When He saved you, He puts that light in us. We ought to be shining it to a lost and a dying world. It's wonderful serving Jesus. But Jonah. Oh, but Jonah. Now, Brother Tim, you thought about this. He said the wind got up, disturbance. Brother Dennis, I wonder how many other ships he messed up. Wonder how many ships was out there round about him. Now, he's called to rescue people. Now, he's brought them in danger. That's my heart. Maybe you hear you've never been saved. It'd be a good night to trust Christ. Christian, won't you gather around this altar tonight and say, God, I don't want it to be leaning. I want to get real close to You, Lord. We stand all around the house tonight. You need to come pray. Just between you and the Lord, you come tonight. Brother Tim, what's your number?